This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 199 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. So I made a comment on Twitter this week that Patrick Mahomes is the one quarterback that I've ever thought in my years of doing this, he's the first one that I've thought might be worth an early round fantasy football selection. And naturally, there were responses from that tweet that ranged from, "Don't do it, JJ," to, "Yeah, you're totally right." But I wanted to provide a little bit of context to that tweet to start today's show. You guys know all about the late round quarterback strategy by now. And as each year has passed, quarterback average draft positions have gotten later and later. That's because of a mix of two things happening. First, quarterback play from a fantasy football standpoint has been better, so we've got a lot of quarterbacks who are usable in fantasy. But also, I think fantasy managers are just getting smarter. I don't say that thinking that I'm the reason this has happened. People have been drafting quarterbacks late for years. I'm merely saying that the strategy became mainstream a couple of years ago, so that's going to naturally make it more popular. To this point, though, there are still a ton of misconceptions about the late-round quarterback strategy. One of them being that quarterbacks can't give you an edge in fantasy football. That's not necessarily true. They can. And Patrick Mahomes is doing that this season. Entering week 14, Mahomes is averaging over 5 more points per game than any other quarterback. You'll find an edge like that between like a Todd Gurley and James Conner in PPR formats, but Conner is the RB6 in points per game while Gurley is the RB1. And then wide receiver has even less value at running back and so on. We're talking about a 5-point gap between Patrick Mahomes and the QB2. The thing that doesn't go into that sort of analysis is replaceability and cost. Replaceability just means that you can stream quarterbacks or you can find reasonable ones off the waiver wire each week. So that makes the position less valuable. But cost is what I really want to focus on here. If you want to hear more about replaceability, I basically talked about late round quarterback drafting on the Superflex strategy episode that I did this offseason, which was episode 139. But let's talk about cost. In that same Superflex study that I did, I looked at how each position in fantasy football fared when you compare ADP to actual result. And it wasn't surprising to me, but it might have been to you guys, that quarterbacks are actually the least predictable position when you strictly look at where they were being drafted at the beginning of the season to where they finished. So to put this another way, we usually have a group of quarterbacks that fantasy managers are willing to draft a little bit early each season. But those quarterbacks don't necessarily pan out at a higher rate than running backs and wide receivers, or even elite tight ends. And that's been especially true over the last few seasons. This year, the quarterback who was being drafted early, or early-ish, was Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers is currently the QB11 in points per game. On my other podcast, Living the Stream, we've streamed a yearly quarterback with a higher points per game average. Last year, that quarterback was also Aaron Rodgers, and he got hurt. In 2016, we had Cam Newton. Cam Newton was completely replaceable that season. He was QB13 in points per game. In 2015, Andrew Luck had by far the highest ADP of all quarterbacks. And he got hurt, but he also wasn't averaging a whole lot of points per game before that injury. This is all to say that I think a lot of people view the high-end quarterbacks as safe when they're not safe at all, especially at a replaceable position. Now, all the while, in 2015, only Cam Newton was sort of giving you an edge at quarterback, averaging 2.5 more points per game than any other quarterback. In 2016, Rodgers wasn't even 2 points better than the second-ranked Matt Ryan, and last year, if we don't count Deshaun Watson, who missed a lot of the season, no player was really giving you this overly significant edge at the quarterback position. At least not like Mahomes. No quarterback has really done what Pat Mahomes is doing versus the rest of his position. Not even Peyton Manning's huge 2013. So when I sent that tweet, it was really just me saying this. We know quarterbacks can give you an advantage in fantasy football. Half the time, there's really not a significant advantage. The other half, there is, but a lot of times, those quarterbacks are being drafted late, as Patrick Mahomes was. And even though there will be some regression statistically from Patrick Mahomes because there's almost no way he maintains his touchdown rate, it's hard for me to simply ignore that he's a second-year quarterback with great young weapons and with one of the best offensive minds in the game coaching his team. Sure, Patrick Mahomes won't give teams this much of an edge year over year. And there will certainly be late-round quarterbacks who jump up into the elite tier year over year as well. It always happens. But Mahomes may also be special. He's unlike anything that we've seen before. And that at least should open my and your mind to the possibility that he could consistently give you an advantage at quarterback year over year rather than this being a massive one-year outlier. It's an outlier for sure, but regression doesn't mean irrelevancy. The thing is, his ADP next year is going to be far too high for me to consider him. That's the thing. When I say early, I'm not talking about the first or second round. I'm talking like the fourth or maybe the late third. But I just wanted to share my thoughts on the subject. There's no doubt that Mahomes' fantasy value is going to create a lot of great debates over the offseason. We've got some great mailbag questions for this week, but before digging in, I wanted to remind you guys about the weekly NumberFire Podcast Network free roll that we've been doing over on FanDuel. In week 13, EJ Belair got the win with Patrick Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey, and Todd Gurley, and then the lineup saved a little cash with Chris Conley, Dante Moncrief, and the Patriots defense. For the win, they get 3 free months of NumberFire Premium and a whole lot of FanDuel points. If you want in on the Week 14 contest, your URL is fanduel.com/league/JJ. That's fanduel.com/league/JJ for a chance at NumberFire Premium and free FanDuel points to be used on entries. This first question is from @Brinkerton86. Thoughts on Zay Jones as a desperation replacement for Sanders? I got no one. I figured I'd use this question to talk about the Emmanuel Sanders injury. I think Cortland Sutton benefits slightly from the injury just because he may see more looks go his way. But don't forget about Deshaun Hamilton. Hamilton played 80% of Denver's snaps last week after playing 51% the week before. Things were already sort of trending up for him. And he's a slot guy. He can directly replace Sanders in the slot. So to me, he's the one who's going to benefit the most from this injury just because he'll go from seeing just a couple of targets per game to potentially 5 or 6. And regarding Zay Jones, I like Zay Jones as a player. And if you guys remember, I actually had him as a very deep add on rosters earlier in the season on a 15 transactions episode. I think he's fine. He's probably a wide receiver 3 or 4 type, and he's better off in PPR formats because there's not a whole lot of touchdown upside in that passing attack. This next question is from @MortyLaser. Which defense are you targeting for weeks 15 and 16? So for week 15, you can play Baltimore, who are out on some waiver wires because of their matchup this week, but I don't mind Buffalo, Jacksonville, and Seattle too. And Atlanta is a team that would be a super traditional streamer. No one is going to have the Falcons, and they're at home against the Cardinals. And then in week 16, you could go Tennessee against Washington, maybe Dallas at home against the Bucks, maybe Indy at home against the Giants, and then the Browns are at home against the Bengals. This next question is from @PolishedTweeter. I've been a commissioner of a league for 7 years and I'm curious. What are your biggest lessons learned? Pet peeves? Rule changes, etc.? I think the number one thing to always remember as a commissioner is that any hole that exists in rules that you think will not be possibly exploited, they'll be exploited. If you don't think teams will tank for better keepers or a higher draft pick, for instance, they will. They will tank. You need to set rules around it. You need to set rules around absolutely everything. I also think having managers who actually care about the competitiveness of the league matters a lot as well. If they're children and they can't take a loss in a game that they can't fully control, then they're probably not going to be good managers. My biggest pet peeve as a commissioner, though, is most definitely when people in the league can't comprehend how annoyingly difficult it can sometimes be. I'm not trying to make it out like being a commissioner is a full-time job, but things like setting a draft date, collecting money, making sure the competitive balance is there, tracking keepers, all of that takes time and effort. As a commissioner for 16 years, I've seen a lot. But I think the biggest thing is to make sure that you have rules around everything. That way, there's never any controversy. This next question is from @TRBlackledge. Is it immoral to play Jalen Samuels in my tight end spot? Hell no, it's not immoral. The only way it's immoral is if your league decided that you can't do it. But I also think that that would be a little unfair too. So if you can do it, play Jalen Samuels as a tight end. I also got a lot of questions about this week and how I felt about the whole situation with Jalen Samuels being tight end eligible. I understand why Yahoo has him as a tight end because that's what he was at the combine and he played that hybrid role when he was at NC State. And I have no issue at all with them saying that they're not changing the eligibility because it wouldn't be fair at this point to do so. But I do wish that it would have changed to running back when it was very clear that that's how Pittsburgh was going to utilize him. So that's my only beef with it. Since they didn't change it though, then I think it's smart to just keep things the way that they are. But no, it's not immoral to play him at tight end. Your goal is to win. This next question is from @GMAC_official. Have Rivers and Wilson. Guy I'm playing in first round has Keenan Allen. Should I play Wilson instead of Rivers since he has Allen? Any correlation between starting a quarterback where you're playing against the quarterback's top wide receiver target? Does it cap my upside? Thanks. I would be playing Rivers because he's the optimal play. I get this question a lot, and that's my answer to it. Play your optimal plays first and foremost. Russell Wilson has a really tough matchup this week and Phillip Rivers doesn't. If it were a toss-up, sure, maybe your opponent's lineup will force you to adjust who you're playing. Or if you're a huge and clear underdog, maybe you play Wilson in case the Chargers somehow don't do anything offensively against the Bengals. But when there's a clear better play, which in my eyes, that's Phillip Rivers this week, then you can't let something like this change your decision. This next question is from Ulri40. How do you feel about a 3-win team claiming Jalen Samuels and Adam Humphries this week? This really goes back to the question that I got on being a commissioner. If there's no rule around bad teams claiming players, then I think it's fine. If there is a rule, then that league manager shouldn't be able to claim Samuels and Humphries. It's really as simple as that. This next question is from @the_lolrax. As someone with a bye, what kind of stuff can I do to be proactive and be ahead of my week 15 opponent? Should I be blocking them from players? Currently rostering Sutton and Jared Cook, I have George Kittle, and I dropped my kicker. Yeah, I think dropping your kicker is a very smart move if you can manage it. That way you can hold on to more high upside players. And generally speaking, when I say high upside players, I mean handcuffs. Because if a running back gets hurt this week, and you see his handcuff sitting on the waiver wire because you decided to hold on to Cody Parkey, you're going to be upset about it. But just make sure your lineup is ready to go for next week. Have your defense ready, have your starting roster ready. And if you see a potential opponent with a weakness somewhere, maybe at quarterback or something, maybe do what you said and try to block that manager from a top quarterback streamer. Think about your roster first, and then think about theirs. This last question is from @MrTCMitchell. Do you trust the math breaking Russell Wilson in weeks 14 through 16? Look, guys, I've been wrong about Tyler Lockett specifically all second half of the season. Like I said on my matchup show this week, I had Lockett as a bye when the season started. I liked him as a late round pick. But my goodness, the dude is scoring a touchdown on like every 4 receptions. It's not normal. And that extends to Russell Wilson too. Wilson has a touchdown rate that's way higher than we've seen him hit before. With touchdown rates or touchdowns divided by attempts, you'll generally see regression year over year. And you'll also see better quarterbacks with higher than normal rates. But this isn't just a higher than normal rate. Russell Wilson's is at 8.9% when his career average is 6%. Prior to this season, in NFL history, I'm talking NFL history, we've seen just 5 seasons with a touchdown rate of 8.9% or better. Deshaun Watson did it last year, Aaron Rodgers in 2011, and Peyton Manning in 2004. Those are the most recent examples. This year, you've got Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson both hitting the mark. To simply bank on that wouldn't be true to who I am as an analyst. I think Wilson is tough to trust this week against Minnesota, but he'll admittedly be absolutely fine in weeks 15 and 16 against San Francisco and Kansas City. But he's breaking math. Not enough people are talking about how insanely efficient Russell Wilson has been this year. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to all of you guys for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify. And I'm also on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy your weekend, and good luck in the fantasy playoffs.